Presentation, I'd like to present Marla Clayman from Northwestern University, and she's going to be talking about the feasibility of implementing a patient education program on colorectal cancer screening in a general medicine clinic.
Good morning, thank you. And I'd like to thank our moderator and my fellow speakers, because sometimes when you see that you're the last one on a program, you think you're going to have about 2 minutes to talk. And everybody did such a nice job of keeping on time that I really do appreciate it. I'm going to talk about a program that we've developed. We actually have several versions of it, and what I'm going to talk about is a two-minute version. And so if people have questions a little bit later about the various versions we have and the different contexts in which we've tested it and are testing it, I'm happy to answer those. I should say that I have nothing to disclose, like most public health practitioners. So our objective was to determine if a short multimedia program that provides information about colorectal cancer and related screening options could be implemented in a busy clinical practice. This is a patient education-oriented program. Our patients were between 50 and 80 years. They're not current with colorectal cancer screening. They're scheduled to see one of 10 general internists participating in the research. These 10 internists were the ones within this clinic who saw the most patients who were eligible for screening. We had three phases of the research: usual care, during which we got some baseline information about screening rates, and also about patients' views on colorectal cancer screening and their knowledge of colon cancer. Then a patient tool phase, and then the third phase was the patient tool and an accompanying provider tool. We identified eligible patients from the electronic medical record, and I'll talk a little bit about that as we get farther along. The patients were sent a contact letter, and then the research assistant called to confirm the patient's next appointment and whether or not the patient had been screened, basically to confirm that they had not been screened. And there was a post-visit in-person interview, and then a subset of the patient visits were also video recorded. A 3-month post-visit phone interview and medical record review. We did that so that we could see when patients reported whether or not they had been screened, if that matched what the medical record said. So this is a 2-minute multimedia program on a portable DVD player, and I was actually very struck by our first presenter in terms of the messages that, potential messages that she was talking about, because our first version of this tool was developed through a grant in a Latino community, and then we later developed it in a multicultural community, and both of those messages were tested, and they were very, very similar. So the text of it starts saying, you have things to do, and you have plans, and you need to stay healthy, and we use a lot of images of people working and being with their families and doing things that they enjoy. And so a lot of the things that she was saying in terms of their potential messages actually really echo quite closely to the text that we developed and tested. We use this tool in the exam room while waiting for the physician. It's basically time where nothing is happening except the patient is looking around at the things on the wall or is flipping through a magazine. So we thought this might be an efficient use of time. The program provided information about colorectal cancer. It defined key terms. It described the different screening options and recommended that patients talk to their physician about getting screened. So it did not recommend any particular screening option, but it basically said, talk to your doctor and get screened. The provider tool is available within the electronic medical record. It used the same graphics and language as the patient tool, and it included more detail than the patient tool that the physicians could use as they wanted to, and had sort of talking points of things that patients had told us and other providers had told us were important for the physician to mention. When this is one of the stills from the provider tool. So when it has the choosing the test for you, you can actually highlight either by column or by row. So if you have been talking to a patient and you say, well, I think that a colonoscopy might be something you'd want to consider, you can highlight the colonoscopy column, and then it has these different things. So it compares for colonoscopy in this version, FlexSig and the FOBT stool cards, the purpose, timing, location, what the patient needs to do to get ready, which patients told us was extraordinarily important, and other things to consider, as well as some risks. So when you look at the language, again, this is when the provider is talking to the patient. This isn't something that the patient sees on their own. We had 78 people in this pilot study. The average age was 58 years. About 70% were female. This represents, in terms of race and ethnicity, pretty closely to this particular clinic, 65% white, 22% black. And then in the first phase, which was usual care, 30 patients. The second phase, which was the patient tool only, 24 patients. And the third phase, which was the patient tool and accompanying provider tool, 24 patients. Only one patient was not able to view the video before the visit. So we found that actually quite encouraging that there weren't other interruptions happening. And on a 1 to 10 scale, the ratings were really quite high. The patients said that it was very clear, informative. You can see that they, of all of the things, they didn't find it as interesting, but it is about colon cancer screening, so I'm not sure how high we could potentially get on that. And 77% said that it was about right in terms of program length, and 23% said it was too short. Nobody said this was too long. And again, this was the 2-minute version. The physicians really did not feel that the multimedia program interrupted the workflow. And again, only one person said that they were interrupted and that they couldn't watch it. So the physicians found this really seamless. But they varied in their use of the provider tool. So some really didn't use it at all. We didn't dictate to them how to use it. We wanted to see what they did with it. Some used it a lot, and some used it very much. It was very individualized. In terms of the interview, the post-visit interview, 86% of the patients said that they planned on getting screened, but there were no changes in rates between the phases of those who reported getting screened. So if they had usual care and they hadn't seen the tool, there was no increase in rates. The intervention groups reported that they were more likely to have reported discussing colonoscopy specifically as a screening option. In terms of the video coding, and we only had a subset of these, there was no difference in the length of visit. Physicians are often very concerned about if they do certain things that their visit length will increase. There was a slight trend toward increasing time specifically spent discussing screening. In the usual care, the visit length, and again, this was in terms of how much time specifically they spent discussing screening, it was 118 seconds, about 2 minutes, and they spent a little over 3 minutes in the patient intervention group discussing screening. For the 3-month follow-up, remember that the vast majority of people said, oh, yes, I'm going to get screened. Well, in 3-month follow-up, 35% reported that they were screened, and then our medical record review said, indeed, 35% of them were screened. But there was no difference in screening by phase, so we didn't actually see that this intervention had increased screening rates. But one implementation issue, we used the EMR to identify patients, was that this didn't work very well, actually. So I think that when people talk about electronic medical records, that there are still a lot of issues to be discussed. So I'm going to give you an example. Here's our recruitment strategy. We mailed out over 1,000 letters, and we had a quarter of the people said, I'm not interested. We couldn't contact 300, so by the EMR, this was what we had their addresses as. 378 of them weren't eligible, and this is because 365 had been screened, and that our electronic medical record really didn't capture this behavior. And part of that is because in our record system, there are several ways in which screening can be captured. One of that is through the patient note, so that the physician could say, oh, you were screened somewhere else. I'm going to write this, in the note, but there's no way to search the notes for screening. And if the physician says FOBT or if they just say CRC, I mean, there's no real way that this is standardized information. In addition, there had been a point where we realized that as part of the health maintenance tab, physicians could check off that they had discussed screening, and somehow the EMR thought that meant that screening had been completed. So sometimes it would say people had been screened when they hadn't. and sometimes people had been screened elsewhere and that wasn't recorded in the record. So this was a huge amount of research assistant time and our time and resources used figuring this out. So it was valuable information, but of 1,000 letters mailed, we had 127 eligible patients. So it resulted in contacting many people who weren't eligible, and it also resulted in underestimates of screening rates, so that when we were trying to look at potential power to increase screening rates, we were severely underpowered. And as I said, as the follow-up, sometimes a referral for colonoscopy was coded as completed screening. And the physicians basically referred almost everybody for a colonoscopy unless there was some really acute reason or medical reason that they shouldn't have a colonoscopy. And a referral really does not always translate into actual screening. So some of the limitations are that it was very hard to determine what a real baseline should have been. And this was only implemented in one clinic. And we didn't specifically train on the use of the provider tool in conjunction with the patient tool. So the providers had seen this patient tool, but we didn't say to the providers, this is really what we would like for you to do, because we wanted to see what they would do with their provider tool. And I think that in retrospect, it would have been good if we had really said, this is how we think this would best be used. In summary, excuse me, we found that a short multimedia program can be introduced into a busy practice and took advantage of time that patients wait to see the physician. And I think this is a lesson not just for colon cancer screening, but potentially for lots of other types of things that we want patients to do and to follow up with. It disrupt the workflow, and it was really well received by both patients and physicians. The physicians often felt that what it did was it allowed the patients to sort of come up to speed, so they didn't have to spend time saying, do you know what a colon is? Do you know where it is and what it means to have colon cancer and what it means to be at risk for colon cancer? It seems to influence discussion of colon cancer screening, which we think is interesting, and we're doing a little more analysis of that actual video interaction. But we think that larger scale studies are really needed to determine to which the extent to which the program may affect screening behavior, because again, it was a small study and we were really underpowered. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, and also that this work was supported by an R21 from the National Cancer Institute. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. And now we have about 10 minutes for questions. Yes.
This patient tool is not interactive. It uses photographs of people, and because we actually were very concerned about literacy, there's very little text that goes on screen, but it's on a DVD player. It's not on a computer, so there aren't different things for the patient to choose.
We developed it out of necessity, really. I mean, they've always been a big fan of our program, but when we went from decentralized to centralized, we went from having 20 local coordinators to having 8 state staff. And we just had so few resources that we had to reach out and find other ways to do things.
Mm-hmm. I had a question for Jeff, and that is, could you talk about how you expect the cancer space to be used by physicians or other providers in a federally qualified health center? I mean, we've been working on some training programs with primary care providers, and it's a challenge to get them to find the time to do training. And I wondered how you expected, did you think they would play the game, or what did you?
The original, probably about 3.5 years ago when this project was first conceived, the original idea was to target physicians in particular. It became apparent to us very, very quickly that physicians basically wouldn't have anything to do with it. And during the initial levels, during some of the initial testing, particularly in Alabama, we had some physicians from primary care, from the FQHCs, who quite literally laughed at it. okay, no problem. But then what we did find was that during those sessions and in working with the Health Disparities Collaboratives with HRSA, it was the training coordinators and the nursing coordinators who would use it. And that's why I mentioned that it's sort of important to almost have a captive audience. So there are one of the biggest issues that we found was that in the FQHCs, there's a fairly high rate of staff turnover. So the training coordinators in these facilities said, you know, look, what I have to do is, you know, I basically have a 3-hour PowerPoint presentation. I need something that's more engaging, that I can use, that's shorter, and that will start stimulating discussion, that will be more efficient than me, me as a training coordinator, explaining sort of these complex ideas or abstract processes, and let these folks use it themselves. So while it's not the physicians that we think will use it, we think we'll be able to reach more people through the training coordinators, because there are, you know, monthly or biannual in services, and also it seems that there's a lot of interest among these training coordinators also in terms of quality improvement. A lot of these folks have to reach benchmarks or say, you know, look, we've improved our screening rate, or we've tried. So that's the idea. But no, physicians, they really have the clinical.
I thought maybe you'd have the secret here. So. Thank you very much. Yes.
Well, the National Cancer Institute can't grant CMEs, directly, but we are exploring ideas with partnering, particularly with the AAFP and possibly other organizations, to offer CMEs in conjunction with this. Yeah, that's basically a big incentive right there. Yeah, we sort of have the captive audience and the incentive, you know, and we're working our way through that.
Yes.
Right, so this was basically, in that sense, it was sort of a pre-post. So we had the usual care group because we wanted to get, for those physicians and their patients, sort of a baseline of how often those patients were being screened. And then we would also ask those patients, we did a few things. So we video recorded those who consented to be video recorded. We asked them the same questions about, do you plan to get screened? And we did medical record reviews of those. So we used those as basically as our baseline, and for those same physicians in that same population group, basically.
And about what difference actual screening appearance?
Right, so we didn't find a difference in screening. What we found a difference in was the way that they talked about colon cancer screening. I should say this is an academic medical center and an academic practice, and so basically these physicians, unless somebody is extraordinarily resistant, they just say you should have a colonoscopy. And what we have when we've done other studies in other contexts is we recognize that many of patients in other places don't have access to screening colonoscopies. And so we're also looking at this in other contexts to see if there are differences in terms of screening rates and the way that they talk about it, because it's not feasible and it's not expected that somebody like in an FQHC is going to say, well, you should just get a colonoscopy, because the physicians know that won't happen. But again, 86% behavioral intent, 35% follow through with screening.
Other questions? Any other questions among the panel? Okay, well, thank you very much for attending. Finish up your conference today and safe travels back to wherever you're going. Thank you.